Greetings. This is James Gillen. I'm your host, and we've got a great show. I thought that was appropriate for the opening because there's a lot of things we wanted to talk about, and we have some great some websites on the site here. So if you just go to BBS and see what's happening, what the show is about today, we have all kinds of graphics up there and websites where you can really get a handle on what's going on. And so I wanted to clear up, you know, in the beginning, a little bit about the 2012, the Mayan prophecies, all of that stuff. For all along, we've been posting other people's things and things on the website. And, you know, but I've said all along that it's a new beginning. It's the end of an old age and the beginning of a new age. And I just didn't see things, a switch flipping and everybody, you know, holding hands and ascending into the fourth dimension or whatever, fifth dimension, you know, whatever people are talking about. But anyway, you know, we put before the 21st, we put a couple emails out on the newsletter and just made it really clear about, you know, we don't see the world ending, but we do see some major shifts and major changes, and we do see an alignment happening with galactic plane. And a lot of planetary alignments, and I guess we're lining up with the galactic plane, Alcyon, you know, the central sun, Sirius, you know, all these major alignments happened during that time period. And there was a huge energy shift that happened, and we're still in it. So one of the latest newsletters we sent out was a message from Sirius talking about a huge influx of energy coming in, you know, with a possible magnetic pole shift. Now, I looked at the stats and the magnetic poles, because of this energy hitting us, are all intertwined, and north and south are totally, you know, intertwined with each other. It's looking pretty bizarre right now, and that might be what everybody's feeling. But there are Australian scientists, like the Australian form of NASA, you might say, and some other agencies are all talking about massive magnetic waves coming in from the galactic core, you know, from galactic central. And that's right on cue. I mean, those are coming in. And we're just getting flooded with emails with people feeling really agitated. They can't sleep. A lot of energy coming in. There's a lot of processing going on, emotional processing, outbursts, highs and lows. You know, all kinds of things. Some people are actually getting sick and ill, you know, with this energy. And it's hitting some people really hard. So, you know, we have to be a little compassionate through these times, because it's a process. And we have to realize that, you know, the whole world is in process right now. There's a major release happening and a vibrational lifting going on. So anyway, there are people that are saying, well, nothing happened. You know, I didn't see anything happen at all. But I mean, it is happening. If you're paying attention to what's going on, the process has started, and it's on every level, not just social and economic, but physical as well. We're having just crazy weather, horrendous weather. We just had a 7.7 earthquake in Alaska. You know, things are ramping up with the tsunami warning. Lucky they didn't have a tsunami. And that might be because of a lot of people changing the frequency and doing some praying. So, you know, who knows? But anyway, there's definitely a shift going on. I know undeniably myself, I'm feeling it. Everybody around me is feeling it. Everybody's talking about it, about the process, and just how, you know, a lot of people just saying this old world is not working for me anymore, and they want to change, you know, and they're making some drastic changes. So anyway, you know, it's on. And according to the Australian scientists and their form of NASA, you might say, they've made it very clear, and that information is up on the website. So if you want to check on today's show, just go to Station One and you can look at the links and the, you know, the photographs of this massive energy flow that's coming in. But it's definitely coming in. It's undeniable. I've always felt that December 21st was not an end date. It was a beginning date. It was the beginning of where the energy was just going to come in, start coming in hot and heavy. And it was going to continue to come in. And our information was that it was going to be coming in hot and heavy for on about the third, the second or the third. And we put that out in the newsletter, and it definitely did come in right on schedule. And then they said in 5 weeks, and I haven't cleared this up, they said in 5 weeks, another huge energy pulse is going to be coming through. So that, you know, hang on to your hats. I'm not sure. I would imagine that it's probably 3 weeks past the third, you know, so that would what be probably around the 24th or 25th. But anyway, I have to look further into that because I'm not sure if I got the message right on the 5 weeks, if it was 5 weeks after the first one hit or if it was 3 weeks and then 5 weeks. I don't know. I'll have to look at the messages and check it out again. But, you know, get clarity on that. But these energy flows are coming in, high magnetics, magnetic waves coming through. Magnetic waves are changing, you know, everything. We're getting bombarded by cosmic rays. The sun is just turning around to with a highly active coronal mass ejection area. I guess a coronal hole, you might say, that's throwing off all kinds of coronal mass ejections and flares. So anyway, there's a big one rolling around. It's been quiet. We had a nice lull for a little while. The sun was really quiet. There's a lot of major activity around the sun and a lot of work being done on the sun, I think, to alleviate a lot of these changes. I think we're getting a lot of help from the ultra dimensionals and higher dimensional beings, you know, to get us through these times. Need to take a quick drink there. I've got that super oxygenated water, Langenberg Research. You got to try that. It's amazing stuff. It's like prawn in a bottle. But anyway, the shifts are on, and that's what I wanted to talk about and have people get some call-ins. You know, people want to call in and talk about how the shifts are happening with them. We're getting crazy UFO reports, fleets flying around, you know, major cities. That's all over the internet. There's a lot of fake ones out there, too. So, you know, a lot of them that we put out there, we try to put out ones that we really believe are right, you know, that look real. And the ones that are sketchy, that are kind of in the gray zone, we'll put out because we want people to comment on them. And what happens is when we put one out, we'll say, hey, look, this looks like CGI. Or this is possible CGI or a hoax or something, and we'll put it out with a little disclaimer on it. And then a lot of people get really upset that we put out, you know, this footage. And I go, well, did you read the disclaimer? We're not saying it's real. And then after about 3 or 4 days, somebody will send us an email and say, hey, I tracked this down, and it's a trailer for some movie or whatever. And then we get the information on it. So it's a way of finding out, you know, what's buzzing around on the net, find out if it's accurate or not. I don't have the funds or the time or the energy to get on a plane and fly to China or any other place where these things are happening to check them out. Some people do. You know, we're pretty technically challenged here and, you know, just don't have the funds to be hopping on planes and doing research like that. So, but there are people out there, and this is an international show. And so we do get people that are in the area that hear about these things and do their own investigation, and they send us something and we put it out. So things get either debunked or validated, you know, pretty quick. Usually it's within 2 or 3 days, you know, when we do that. So again, I mean, it's a newsletter. Basically, we put what's flying around the web, you know, what's in the news, we put it out there. And if it gets debunked, then we put that out there too. So that's just basically what we do. You know, be sure and read the heading. You know, if we put something out, we'll say something like, you know, this is possible CGI, or this is probably a hoax or something like that. Be sure and read that, you know, before getting upset about, you know, sending out, you know, a website or whatever, or some footage. But that was one thing we wanted to cover. I wanted to cover, too, there's some crazy things going on. I know during Christmas, when everybody was giving out their toys and having a good old time, the NDAA 1867 bill was signed by our beloved leader. And we're back to Guantanamo Bay. And, I knew that was one of the pledges when he came into office to close down Gitmo, and shut that down and stop a lot of this nonsense, this kidnapping without, habeas corpus or anything else. But, it's still open now and they can come by and snag you anytime, anywhere, and people will never see you again. You have no right to trial, nothing. And that's what this bill is all about. It's not just going to some foreign country and snagging people, which is against international law. And even the drones and all the other things are against international law, but we're doing that. We're doing all kinds of things that are insane. But anyway, people have to start paying attention. I'm getting a lot of hate mail from Obama supporters, and I'm just going, well, the Patriot Act is still there, Gitmo is still there. If the change that we were expecting is to bail out all the banksters and put us, in debt, and having the jobless rate go up, skyrocket, and the food stamps, people on food stamps double, and all these other things that are going on, come on, we have to start paying attention to what's happening. And now they're trying to push these Second Amendment, gun laws, these draconian, programs in. So anyway, we're there. This is the Orwellian nightmare. There's cameras everywhere. They're listening everywhere. They can listen to, all of your phone calls. They can tap your emails. They can do pretty much whatever they want, and they've signed all that away. So our senators and congressmen, all these people that we've sent in there to watch our backs, have basically, pretty much signed us away. And you have to really get into the nature of this. Why would they do this? Why would they want total control and a strong arm, just complete control to do away with and get rid of anybody they want at any time they want? Why would they want that control? What are they afraid of? Are they afraid of people waking up to what they've done and all the little stunts they've pulled? Is that what it is? Or you got to get in the mindset of these people. These people didn't get into power by being nice guys. There might be a couple in there that have integrity, that are honest, very few, but most of them are very afraid of the American people figuring out who they are and what they've done. So basically, they're all in it together, and they want total domination, total control, because they're afraid of the people and the people waking up to what they've done. So that's the bottom line. If you want to get down to basics, that's what it's all about. It's all about fear. It's all about some very dirty dealings and a long history of it. And they're really afraid of people waking up to what's been going on and how our country's basically been stolen out from under us. And this has been going on for a long time. So that's what that's all about. There's nothing else. It's not to save the school kids. There's no other reason for this, what's going on. It's to disarm the American people, because they're very afraid of the American people waking up and saying enough's enough. And there's, like Japan, China, nobody would invade us right now because they know everybody's armed. And they said I think the Japanese emperor said there'd be a sniper behind every blade of grass, if we tried to invade the United States. There's a lot of information out there. I put some websites out there too, and some information about where the real statistics are coming out. The gun sales went through the roof. Walmart is cleaned out. All the major gun shops are just cleaned out. All of these threats of taking away the Second Amendment have thrown gun sales through the roof. And now what's also really weird too is that crime is taking the opposite direction. Violent crimes are down 50%. So let me see. Gun sales have been going through the roof because of fear of our Second Amendment being taken away and other things. And the violent crime rates have gone down 50%. I don't think anybody's telling you about that. And I don't think they're telling you about all the violent crimes that were actually stopped by people that had, concealed weapon permits or whatever that they were carrying at the time. Every single one of these events was in a gun-free zone, where they pulled off these mass shootings and things like that. That every one of them was in a total gun-free zone, and most of them were in states that have extreme gun laws, you know, very, very extreme gun laws already. So the laws aren't going to do it. And it just, it's common sense. You know, I'm not saying I'm a redneck. I'm not saying gun ho. I want to go and shoot, you know, anybody that I disagree with or things like that. That's not the case. You know, it's just common sense, you know, basically. So, I mean, you have to look at what all the major tyrants in history did. Look at what Hitler did, Mussolini, all these people. The first thing they did was take away the guns. And after they took away the guns, the people lost all control whatsoever. And then the mass genocide began. So, you know, the biggest terrorists are governments, and the biggest genocide that's happened on the planet has been done by governments. And it's done to people that were disarmed. So anyway, that's just common sense of it. I'd love for you to listen to, look up, Max Egan. Look at his interviews. He's from Australia, and he just sheds a really good light on it. He just tells you what's going down, and he's very good at compiling information, you know, about what's happening. So, you know, he's got some really good videos. He's been on the show a couple times, but, you know, he just really nails it. He said, this is what's going down. He's going, don't do it. You know, you got to look at the violent crime rates. And in each case, this, you know, even our own FBI statistics show that violent crime is going way down, you know, huge reduction, and people, the arms that people are buying are going way up, you know. So it makes you think twice, you know, before you pull off a violent crime when you know somebody has access to a pistol or a shotgun or whatever else. I know I would. I mean, I'm not planning on doing any violent crimes lately, but I know if I was going to go sneak over to my neighbor and snag something or do whatever, and I knew he had a few guns in the house, you know, and that his family knew how to use them, and his wife, you know, went to a few few classes or whatever, I'd really think twice before misbehaving, you know. So, you know, if you want to get robbed, put a big sign on your front gate, you know, this is a gun-free zone, you know. You know, tell everybody you have no guns. You know, that's a really good way to get cleaned out. So it is a deterrent. And again, that's common sense. So we had a little episode here I wanted to talk about. Now, this is really interesting. This is kind of the microcosm of the macrocosm. And I wanted to talk about this because we live on a ranch, and we're out in the middle of nowhere. We're right next to a national forest and the Yakima Reservation here. And every once in a while, when you have a ranch, we have 70 acres here, we have critters that come on the ranch, and we have to deal with them. And we have everything from bears to mountain lions to lynxes, bobcats, coyotes, you name it. And so, you know, we take an approach here where we don't, you know, it's like live and let live. We don't bother anything unless it's really bothering us. So we had a couple years ago, about 3 years ago, I had a lynx come in and just kill 14 chickens, just go on a kill rage, you know. It was like my own little massacre here going on, and, you know, kept coming back, and I, you know, I even tried to chase the thing out of the coop, and it came at me, and it was kind of a mess. So anyway, so I kind of opened up his third eye and told him to say hi to God and send him on his way, you know, and it was just something that needed to be done. And didn't have any other option. I had a choice, you know. I only had like 5 or 6 chickens left. Let them just kill all the chickens and keep coming back, or take care of business, you know. And so we just had that event happen again just recently. And had a bobcat come in, and same MO, you know, came, you know, snagged a couple chickens first. I can understand that. Grab a chicken and go, you know, you have a right to food. You guys are here first. You know, I don't have a problem with that. You know, we've had eagles come down and snatch a chicken now and then. But when you have something, you know, coming back over and over and kills 11 of your chickens and doesn't, and eats the head off of one of them, but just kills all the others, you know, in kind of a frenzy, you know, you have to deal with it, you know. So basically after the third raid, you know, I was first time I chased it on snowshoes all the way across town, basically, across a couple other ranches, and it went into a residential area, so I had to just drop it, you know, and let it go. But I was pretty much out in the forest, you know, chasing it off, and I thought it was gone, and then it came back again. So, you know, I took care of business, and actually, same thing. I ended up, you know, caught it, you know, same event, killing the chicken. So I dealt with it, you know, and I, same thing, shot him right between the eyes, you know, and said, say hi to God. But what's interesting is that we went into town, you know, and, you know, mentioned it in the diner we're talking about. And I guess word got around. This is a small town. Word travels really fast. So it's a good lesson in that, you know, about talking about things. But next thing you know, I have a game warden showing up. And he was a nice guy, you know, and he came up and he said, hey, you know, thanks. You know, like that cat has hit three or four places, ranches. People have lost a lot of chickens. They even got a photograph of it. It was the same one. And it was his job, I guess, to catch this cat and stop it or do something. And so he goes, man, thanks a lot. You saved me a lot of work and a lot of time, you know, by dealing with this thing. And I go, you're welcome. He goes, oh, by the way, I need the pelt, you know, I need to take the pelt. And I go, what, you know? And he goes, I need the pelt. So I'm thinking about this. I go, now, wait a second. I just lost 11 chickens. I spent a day on snowshoes and then another more time out there waiting for this thing to come back, you know, and end up hunting this thing and shooting it and then skinning it. I have all this work and investment into it. I've got 11 chickens. And I go, well, you know, at least I got a pelt out of it. You know, that's nice. I used to hunt when I was a kid. I don't hunt anymore. I kind of evolved out of it. But I go, well, at least I got a pelt out of it, you know. So anyway, the you know, the ranger comes up, says, hey, thanks a lot. And he goes, oh, these pelts are worth a lot of money. I have to take the pelt. And I'm going, what are you talking about? You know, and he goes, no, I have to take the pelt. And I'm going, so wait a second. So anyway, and then it's their belief that they own the bobcat. You know, they own the wildlife. You know, we own the wildlife. And I'm going, wait a second. Okay, so if this is your cat, this cat just wasted 11 of my chickens. So let's come up with some chickens. Oh, no, we don't do that, you know. Or, you know, I'm thinking about this. I'm going, well, you know, this doesn't make sense. You know, I had 11 chickens killed. I had to hunt this thing down, you know, and I skinned it and everything else. And then the government shows up and says, hey, this is ours, and takes it and drives down the road. You know, think about that. Can we see a microcosm and a macrocosm going in there? And it's kind of interesting because that's the way the system is. The system is there to protect the system. It's there. It's these people that work for the system are there to protect the system. They're not really there to help you out. You know, it's not about you. It's the system. And that's the problem right now, is that if we really look at our system and the way our system works, all of the law enforcement, all of the agencies, they're all there to protect the system. They're not there to protect the people. And they own allegiance to the system, to America, the corporation, not the republic or we the people. They owe an allegiance to the system. And if you, when you understand this and how this works, and if you see all of this goes back to the Queen and to the Pope, basically, and that we lost America a long time ago, and that this you know, United States of America, the corporation, is really not even owned by the people. When you understand this, you'll see that the way this system works is that the agencies are all there to protect the system, and the system is not your system. And that's what people are waking up to right now. That's the big aha. And so the people are working, you know, their butts off. They're putting in all the time and energy, and the system is coming in and saying, thank you very much. you know, and they're doing it in all kinds of different ways. You know, so you know, people are going, well, wait a second, where's the exchange here? You know, where's the fairness here? You know, who are these people? You know, why are we giving these people like $13-16 trillion? You know, what do they do for me other than take my house or take my job and send it overseas? You know, we really need to start looking at it. They might have thrown us a bone, you know, some food stamps here and there or whatever, you know, to people. But, you know, basically, you know, it's something we need to start reevaluating, you know, the way things are going. So this is all going to dovetail into something else I want to talk about, and it's called universal law. And that's the information we're getting right now, is that this energy coming in that's pressing in intensely is pressing in, and it's, and along with this energy is consciousness. Like every time a solar flare goes off and all this light and energy is coming at us, guess what? That energy is conscious. There's consciousness that comes with that energy. And that's the vibrational continuum. It goes from consciousness to light to energy to mass. And so the light and the energy coming in has consciousness that comes with it. And the higher energies bring up the higher consciousness. It's really hard to explain this, but if you look at the vibrational continuum and if you look at the electromagnetic light spectrum, you'll have a better understanding of the dimensions. And so, you know, there's dimensions that are on the gamma ray. You know, there's dimensions that are on the X-ray, gamma ray, cosmic rays, all these extremely higher dimensions. And they have consciousness with them. And so when we're getting hit with gamma ray bursts and cosmic rays and all these rays coming in, you know, ultraviolet and infrared, all these things, they all come with consciousness. And we are just getting slammed like crazy right now with cosmic rays. The index is off the scale. We're getting, you know, we've had all kinds of solar flares coming in. We're in a slow part right now, but it's getting ready to ramp up again. And we've got this waves, these huge magnetic waves coming in from galactic core, which, you know, to me, galactic core is the original Big Bang. You know, it's the Big Bang for this galaxy, you might say. But there's continuous Big Bangs. It's not just one Big Bang. It's a series of Big Bangs that begin when consciousness collapsed in on itself. So it begins with consciousness. Everything on this dimension owes itself to a higher dimension. And to me, I see it's a series of zero points where things will collapse. You know, they contract down to a point and then boom, the Big Bang, everything expands. And you can't have expansion without contraction. You got to have both sides of the equation. So that's really complicated. I'm trying to keep it simple, but anyway, you know, that's the way things work. So you can understand now when the physicists are saying that we are moving into an extremely highly energized place in space, and when they talk about magnetic waves pulsing through the planet and through all life on the planet, and when they talk about the cosmic rays bombarding things, changing DNA, doing all these things, what they're talking about is a total shift, a total makeover, you might say, of the entire planet. And with this energy, is going to bring some intense social, economic, and physical changes. You know, the planet is growing, it's expanding. And the old guard, you know, the tyranny program is collapsing in on itself. So it's imploding. You know, it's not matching the frequencies of where the earth is going. And this is a natural cycle, and this natural cycle is tied into a higher consciousness and energy, a higher intelligence, or a program that has many facets to it. So, you know, people talk about the angelic kingdom, you know, they talk about the masters, they talk about the ultra dimensionals, the extremely spiritually and technologically advanced off-worlders. All of this is coming into play right now, and that's why you're seeing the ships everywhere, because this is a grand awakening. It's a birth, and it's like the whole cosmos has come out to see it. Now, the old program, the old draconian program that we've been running is coming to a head, And it has to. It's like this energy is pushing it, everything up right to the surface so you can take a good look at it. And that's what we're seeing is the last throws, you know, the last shot, you might say, of the old draconian program, trying to maintain control and keep their empires going and keep the people dumbed down and to keep them from waking up. But it's just know there's a greater force behind it and that it's going to be just pushed up and out. And the more you can focus on the higher consciousness and energy, the love and the joy and the bliss, and stand firm in your own self-authority, things are going to be fine, you know, but also pay attention. You know, just like the people in Alaska that just got hit with the 7.7 quake, I mean, you know, they listened, the sirens went off, everything, they took off, and they headed for higher ground. Luckily, the tsunami wasn't that big, or the impact wasn't that big, whatever came through. This is brand new, so I haven't got all the data on it. But it's better to be safe than sorry. It's better than, sitting on the beach, chanting and drinking a latte or whatever. You know, if there's a huge quake and there are tsunami warnings or whatever, it's good to listen nowadays. The best thing to listen to is your own inner guidance. But, you know, if you're really plugged in and you tap in, you go, hey, I feel fine. I feel totally safe. I don't think this is going to be a tsunami. Then I think some people probably did that, you know, and they just said, oh, you know, this one's going to be okay. But, you know, the next time they might get a real strong hit that maybe it's time to go for high ground. So we need to pay attention to that. There's going to be more quakes, you know, bigger quakes, more tsunamis. There's a lot of rocking and rolling going on with the planet as she's shifting with these new energies. And we need to pay attention to it. So again, it's a beginning. The December 21st thing is a beginning. There's a lot of people that participated in meditations around the world and set their intentions and tried to create a different tomorrow. There's a lot of higher dimensional beings interacting. There's massive stuff going on with the sun where they took a lot of energy out of the sun, it seemed like. To help us get through, help the sun adjust to these shifts as well. So there's a lot going on out there. And I think for people to say, oh, nothing happened, you know, it was all a hoax. It's something did happen and it's still happening and it's going to keep escalating. It doesn't happen on a day, you know, it's a process and it's a continuing process. It's funny because right now, you know, as we speak right now, my ears are ringing off the hook. And that's either means a ship is present that's disrupting the magnetic fields or there's something big going on, you know, another quake somewhere. So one or the other, I'm not sure which, but something's going on right now. And all I know is my world's changing, and I know I've been having a lot of trouble sleeping, and sometimes I just been getting laid out by these waves going through, and other times I'm super energized, and I just want to run across the field, you know. Problem is there's 3 feet of snow, and it's kind of tough to run out there right now unless you have snowshoes. But anyway, there's a lot of energy coming through, so I would highly suggest getting – a place that you can be in your own space so you don't project and blame and get into other people's energies when they're processing too. Learn to take time away, you know, from your mates and friends and family. If you can spend quiet time alone, it's really important right now to get some quiet time in, get some rest, get a lot of rest if you can, and allow your body to do what it needs to do to adjust to these shifts and changes. You know, drink a lot of water, catch up on your vitamin D and all these other vitamins that you might be needing to take right now because of the absence of the sun. You know, you might want to, there's a few other things you might want to, you know, look into, any kind of cleansing or whatever, and do your best, do what you can to adjust to these new energies because your body's going to be aching and groaning and with these shifts, you know, trying to adjust to these shifts. So there's a lot of different things we can do to help us get through these times, you know. But the best thing I can say is get out in nature and get, you know, get a lot of rest if you can. And, you know, you might, you know, put yourself first, basically. I know you have jobs to go to and you have your cubicles and your computers to sit in front of and all these other things. But it's time to put yourself first and do what you need to do. You know, give your body the time, you know, the catch up time it needs to get through these shifts. Anyway, what I see is that I'm seeing this whole system just imploding. That's what I see. I see universal law coming in, pressing in. A lot of this hidden stuff is all surfacing for people to look at. I really do see this old guard and all the systems that are based on control and domination and that aren't just basically imploding. And it's not going to happen overnight, but I think it's going to happen pretty quick. I really do. And also a heads up, I wouldn't expect the grid to continue to stay up through this process. I think we got a couple years of some intense energies coming through. And you might want to be set up for, you know, if the grid goes down, you know, get your resources together, you know, get your bag of rice and beans and a way to cook it, you know, figure out where you're going to get your heat from and where you're going to go to the bathroom, basically. Get the basics down, you know, just be kind to yourself because things are not going to be business as usual. This is not fear and doom, fear, gloom and doom or whatever. You know, I'm not a fear monger. I'm just telling you like it is. You know, this is science. You know, this is happening. We are moving into a super highly energized place in space. I can tell you, I have no idea what's going to happen. I know what can happen and what looks like is going to happen. I don't know how much divine intervention is going to come in. I don't think anybody does. But I do know changes are coming. And so it's best to get prepared. I'm going to open up the lines if anybody wants to call in. And we can cover any of these subjects, you know, the Second Amendment, the NDAA, you know, 1867, you know, where we basically lost all of our rights to trial, everything. They can snag you anywhere, anytime, and throw you away indefinitely and throw the key away, basically. You know, that right there is treason. You know, if you sign something like that, that's basically treason. I don't know how you could call it anything else. But, you know, and we can cover the galactic, you know, all of these things. There's all kinds of different things we can cover. You know, how you're feeling with the galactic plane. You know, the energies coming in, you know, how it's affecting you and any advice. You know, also, too, watch your dreams. I mean, the dreams have been crazy and a lot of processing going on. And I've been having dreams and I know others around me are having dreams that are just really weird, you know, like dreams I've never had before. And a lot of it's releasing the past and going back into the past and looking at different timelines or different possibilities, things of that nature. But a lot's coming up, you know, and it's definitely coming up in the dream state and other levels as well. So it's kind of strange. I used to live in Santa Cruz, California. I'm having all kinds of dreams about Santa Cruz. And in the dreams, a lot of the roads aren't doing too well. You know, some event happened where a lot of the roads were cracked and failing and things falling across the road and you know, bulldozed out of the way. And the just the interior there wasn't doing too good, you know, in these dreams. And I thought that was kind of interesting. But, you know, who knows? Who knows what will unfold there? But anyway, if anybody wants to call in, I'll give you those numbers. The first number is 888-627-6008. And the other number is 530-327-7602. Or it's 530-413-4522, 530-413-5011. So I'll give those again in a minute. If you want to grab a pen or a pencil and have that handy, I'll give those again. I'll give them a little slower so you can write those down if you want to call in and talk to us about what's happening with you. you know, and how you're experiencing these energies. Because, boy, I mean, my emails, if I'm not getting back to you, I'm trying. Believe me, I have to spend like, you know, an hour and a half to 2 hours every day just doing emails to stay up on top of it. And some people are writing me books, you know, six pagers, and I can't really answer a book. If you can keep things short and concise, I can give you some answers on some things. But right now, you know, I have another life outside of sitting and answering emails, and I'd like to do a little more of that, you know, because I have, you know, I'm on the plow a lot here because we're having storms coming in right now as we speak. I just had to plow again today. But, you know, we've got a 70-acre ranch to take care of, and we've got yaks and chickens, and actually we're minus a few chickens now. We have just a few chickens left. But, you know, and roads to keep open and things of that, just staying up with winter. So, and I'm sure this spring we're going to have a lot of repairs from after winter. So, anyway, you know, we're really busy. There's a lot going on, and we're trying to stay on top of it. But anyway, it looks like we've got Rose on line three. Rose, are you with us? Hello. I can hear Rose in the background.
Oh, hi.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. Oh, we're a little behind the time on the radio, huh?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'd probably turn your radio down because there's probably a you know, a delay in case we start swearing too much.
Well, it's Rose from Yelm.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Good. You remember me?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I could use a tune-up.
Oh, you could? Yeah, I really wanted to get up there before the snow hit, but that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just wanted to tell you, I feel like I got a huge hole in my chest going through my back.
Wow.
And I thought I was getting that really bad bronchial flu everybody's been getting.
Yeah.
No flu, just the pain in my chest.
What do you think the origin of that is?
Well, I'm not sure, but I know that I've had very bizarre dreams recently. Mm-hmm. And one of them was about some friends of mine. And it turns out that in the dream, they have realized that they're not from Earth. And uh-huh. They took me in their ship and took me to their planet. And we did some adventures and we went to the future. And then we came back to the now. And I got reassured that, you know, 2013 is actually going to be a great energy time.
Uh-huh.
And then the next morning I had another strange dream. I had like the void in my shoulder. It was very strange. Just very strange dreams.
Uh-huh.
This feeling in my chest. Of course, the buzzing in the ears have been amazing lately.
Yeah.
And I have no flu.
Well, you know, a lot of people are emailing us and they're saying they're having like heart palpitations and you know, pain in their heart and things like that. Yeah. And they're saying that's one of the symptoms of these shifts in the magnetic fields and especially the solar energy when it comes in, when we're getting hit by CMEs and things. But I'm having the same thing. I've been feeling chest pain, and I go, but I'm not buying into it. Like, oh, am I having a heart attack, or do I need to go to the hospital? Or because I've already died a few times anyway, so it's like. But and it subsides, you know, and it goes away, and so that's one thing. I think that's an energy thing. But I noticed too that they're spraying like crazy. Every once in a while we see a hole in the sky and they're chemtrailing so thick and so heavy above storms and people are getting really sick here. And I know a lot of the school kids right now are feeling the energy coming in too as well. And they're saying that the school kids are talking, they go, hey, I can't sleep. What's going on? You know, and they're just totally amped up. And then some of them are getting sick too. A lot of them are getting sick. So,
yeah, because sometimes it's 5 o'clock in the morning before I've gone to sleep, and yet I'm not tired all day. I'm like completely energized.
You're not alone. I mean, that's one of the main things that people are saying is that they're feeling super energized and they can't sleep. And then some people that haven't done their homework, you know, that are still carrying a lot of baggage, that that energy seems to be flattening them or really laying them down or making them have to deal with any old unresolved issues or anger or frustrations or things like that.
And I noticed for me, especially since around the 21st of December, around that period of time, I had a lot of things occur, like in 3 days, I re-met up with three different old boyfriends from long ago, you know, that didn't end happily.
Yeah.
And in 3 days in a row, I'm bumping into these people that have moved away, lived far away, and I'm right there looking at them, and I have no emotional attachment to it anymore.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it seems
like... And it was like all the emotions of the past weren't there anymore. And they're right in my face.
Yeah, and what do you think their reaction was? Do you think that they too were? Because I'm seeing that there's a lot of finishing. A while back, it was funny because I got a lot of emails from people I haven't heard from years, and some old girlfriends, things like that, just apologizing. You know, saying you know what, I was kind of naive, or I did this, or I'm sorry, and things like that, and you know, it was good to hear that, but I also felt I was complete, you know. Same, that whatever I needed to experience in that relationship was done, and whatever they needed, you know, for closure was being done, and I just felt really good about it, you know. And I just felt, yeah, you know, it was kind of good to have a closure on that. And because a couple of them didn't end, you know, although I did everything I could to keep the energies high and things like that, they just didn't end well. I'm not an easy person to be around because I have so much energy coming through me. It's like an amplifier. And and the ranch here too is really hard to be in relationships here at the ranch, because the ranch is just energy's off the scale here. So when people come here, you know, they go into process right away, and it doesn't take long before all the issues are up for healing and clearing. And some can stick it out for a while, and some just, you know, kind of hit the road.
I notice that a lot with people around me. They're just having meltdowns like crazy, and they're hitting the bottle, and, you know, like going berserk, and husbands are ready to divorce them, the wife, because they're going crazy, and I'm trying to explain to them that, you know, it's the shift in energy, and you need to look at your issues and love yourself and you know, get rid of the gloom and doom of survival and start not just loving yourself, but coming from the heart instead of the head, you know, especially with the area I've lived in, it's all about mind, and they've forgotten about living from the heart. So
yeah, that's an ongoing, I know the women too are really becoming empowered right now with this energy, and they're just not pushing anything under the rug anymore, and they're processing very quickly. And it seems like the men, in most cases, are still trying to figure it out. The women are already processing stuff and moving on, and the men are going, what? You know, like, and they're doing it on a mental level, and which is a very slow way of processing things. And most women are geared towards the emotional level, and it's a much more expanded consciousness, you might say, and you can process things much faster on that level. So, you know, a lot of men are just being left behind almost and not knowing what happened, and and they're still trying to figure it out mentally. And you know, what I'm getting right now is what Babaji was saying, you know, is that it's time to lovingly and joyously prepare. You know, don't get into fear. You know, don't get into the separation game and all the other things going on. And the Palladians are saying it's time to release the past. And the information we're getting is they keep talking about how, and now this is going to sound, I'm not a biblical religious person, so for me to say this is a little odd, but they're talking about the real God. They said the real God is coming. And they call it a frequency and a force. And it's an energy, an intelligence or an energy, and that energy is pressing hard upon the earth with the legions that support it, and so they're giving me a different story, kind of it almost sounds like a religious story, but it's not, and you know, if you look at it on a scientific level, we are getting bombarded with cosmic rays, gamma rays. You know, these huge bursts of X-rays, all these energies are hitting the planet now like never before. If you see God as a higher consciousness and energy, then that would fit the mark of what the scientists are measuring. You know, and if you call it a natural evolutionary process or a cycle, you know, that would fit the mark too. So anyway, that's what they're saying. And their whole message is heal, just heal, 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 release the past. Focus on healing, you know, don't, you know, forgive, release the past and focus on your own healing process to get through these times.
Yes, I've noticed within myself, I'm really have been learning about boundaries and that I can say no. You know, I was brought up to be in service, but not for my own benefit. For everybody else's benefit. And I've noticed now with jobs and things like that, it gets to the point that I experience and then I make a decision that I'm done with this and move on, and everything shifts so quickly. And I'm moved on again to something else, and everything's coming so fast. And I'm accomplishing a lot of my dreams that I didn't think I had the time, money, or the know-how on to what to do. And everything's coming so fast now, and then I'm done with it and move on and next. It's like everything's just accelerated.
Yeah, it is. I've seen that too. It's like with everybody I've talked to, they said everything is on fast forward, and we're moving through things really fast, and things that were so important to us at one time are now not important. You know, they're somewhere in the past. And it's kind of amazing, you know, this shift that's happening. But anyway, we're kind of at the end of the hour, so I've got one more caller I want to bring on. You know, thanks for calling, and keep up the good work there, and keep us tuned in to how things are working out for you.
Yeah, and if you're heading down our way, you know, I'll give you a tune-up.
Okay, sounds great.
All right. Okay.
Take care. It looks like we have Nana on line four. Nana, are you with us?
Hi, Dave. How are you? Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Thanks. I'm calling in because, you know, I talked to everybody about the burning and letting and releasing go of the past ceremony.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
That was me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now what you have to do is, because of the ascension process and because of the universal law that you speak of, it's cause and effect. So, of course, what has happened is, you know, this is a 70-year process, and you know, we all came here to be a participate. But it's still about whatever you've done in this life, it's here. So we're all in effect. Uh-huh. And that's what's happening. So whatever your past or present or this life karma is in effect. So everybody is showing up because they're trying to figure it out and they want your help. And They know they have to apologize because you're getting back what you put out. So that's what the process, and those who want to not be responsible out there hurting other people and doing all this. And, of course, the oppression of the cabal is really tight on all those Republicans, and so, and there's multiple threats on their lives. And so some of the things that our president did are going to be reversed, and all of that is coming. And we all have these powerful guardian angels and guides, and they, you have to ask them to heal you. You have to, Archangel Gabriel has healing green energy. Archangel Michael, Mother Mary, they have the blue and the pink. So you have to calm in, because if you got big holes in your heart, you have to seal it up with, you know, golden and green salve. It's energy that, and you can, so you can process, and but you have to ground. You know, you do a lot of grounding. I'm sure you're outside, but hug a tree if you can. Mother and love yourself is crucial. Write a gratitude list, and now that you've let go, once you do that, then you, what you, the next step is you write a new script, and it's called You're the Star, Your Script, and all the other people are the bit players or whatever. They can get, you know, depends on the role you want to put them in, but don't be a bit player anybody else's role anymore, because you're giving up your power, and you have to hold on. And the energy that's coming in, it's called L-O-V-E, love, love, love. And if you ain't in love and light, then you're going to be in total confusion and anger, because you can't understand why all this, you know, conscious energy is beaming you upside the head. So that's why a lot of people are going crazy. But those who are listening who want to ascend, and it's rough, you have to mother yourself, nurture yourself, feed yourself, write a gratitude list, and then write a happy list. And the happy list is the script, you know, and just thank you for this and thank you for that. Let the universal and the Palladians and all the heavenly beings handle the overpowering negative energy that it seems to be permeating, but that's still a cleansing process, because it's cleansing the people as well. So I know we're at the end of the show, but, you know, the process is release, let go, burn the list, be in gratitude for what you have, because there's millions and millions of people like me living in a apartment building. I'm a disabled, so there's a lot of things that I can't do as far as, you know, financially or whatever, so I'm using what we're being told to use, which is love and the protection. And if you're in the right state and you're doing the right thing, then you will be safe. If you're not, then hold on, because you're going to get your effects. And I love you, and I'm sorry I didn't stop talking.
That's all right. Yeah, we're at the end of the hour, but I love your wisdom, and I can't agree with you more.
Okay, so everybody love and love yourself and be at peace, and thank you. Good night.
Good night. All right, looks like we're at the end of the hour, and thanks for those words of wisdom from Nana and Rose, and sharing her story. And we've got a few others on the list, but we can't get to you because we're hitting you in the hour. This next hour is just an amazing interview, and I know this man personally. I spent a lot of time with him. Giles Campbell, and it's an amazing story. So I really suggest listen to this next interview, because here you're hearing from a molecular biologist and a geneticist, and talking about his own story about his awakening and connecting with these higher dimensional beings. So with that said, you know, as Nana says, love yourself. You know, start loving all creation and forgive yourself and release the past, and focus on love and joy and bliss until you become it, and pay attention, because change is in the wind. Anyway, have a good night. Greetings, I'm James Gillen, your host. We've got a great show for you. We've got Giles Campbell on, and, you know, he's had some amazing experiences, and he's coming at it from a very scientific background. So we're going to go interdimensional today. and bring on Giles. And I don't want to waste a lot of time with the intro, but I just want to bring Giles on. So, Giles, are you with us?
I am, James. How are you going?
Oh, great. It's great to be talking with you again and see your smiling face. And I wish you were back at the ranch here fixing fences and putting in ditches like we did before. That was great.
Oh, that's right. Slave labor.
Yeah. Dude, it's good to have a couple slaves.
Absolutely.
I think I'm the biggest slave here on the planet. I mean, on the ranch right now, as far as...
We've all got a cross to bear, I guess.
Yeah, I'm my own personal slave.
Yeah.
But, I never tell anybody do anything I wouldn't do myself here. So I usually get out and clean toilets and dig ditches and do everything else along with everyone
else. Absolutely.
But, I wanted to just give us a quick glimpse, basically of some idea of who you are and what you do for a living.
Well, I guess going right back, fairly rocky childhood and stuff, and I managed to drag myself out of a bit of a nightmare back then and put myself through college and university. I got a degree in zoology, and then I got my master's in biodiversity and conservation genetics. Mm-hmm. And then did a bit of traveling around the world, ended up in Australia eventually about 12 years ago, and I started work with the Australian Government Scientific Organisation, which is the CSIRO, and ended up in genetics over there, and I worked with DNA vaccines, mostly in fish, and then I went on to what was called the Dauntless Carp Project, working there, which was basically genetically modifying fish, so they only had male offspring. And this the reason we did this was to try and create a line of fish that would eventually breed themselves into extinction. It was all a pest control sort of theory that we had going on there. Mm-hmm. And I was in that position for 4 years after 5 years with the vaccine projects.
Mm-hmm. So, you have a really good scientific background and a real solid footing, in the scientific community.
Yeah, I've spent quite a bit of time with the scientific community, and I don't know if you heard about the GM salmon that's been developed over here in the States. Because I was working with salmon with the vaccine, we kind of interacted with those guys quite a bit, so I understand the genetics behind it all and the scientific theory and why we do these things and, mm-hmm. yeah.
The Frankenfish that they're getting ready to
put
out there. That's going to eat everything out of house and home.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk about some of the experiences that you had that kind of seemed to completely redirect your life and maybe go back to when these first started happening.
Yeah, okay, well... From the first solid experience that I remember was when I was around, I think I was probably about 18, 19 years old, and I was actually driving my dad's car. He was asleep in the passenger seat, and I was driving his car from the south of England up to the north, and I saw what looked, for all intents and purposes, to be a cigar-shaped object, probably about a mile in length, hovering over a group of trees near not too far off the road. And this was a busy highway, and I looked at it, and obviously I'm driving, and I had to look back at the road, and I was like, what on earth? And I looked back, and it's still there. And I was like, what was weird was that the roads were full of cars, and nobody was stopping to have a look at this thing. And then I looked back to the road again, and I looked back, and it had vanished, like it just wasn't there anymore. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking to myself, maybe, it was a momentary hallucination, and... you explain these things away to yourself. Maybe I imagined it and whatever, and my dad was fast asleep next to me and I didn't wake him up, so I just kind of let that go. Mm-hmm. And then I'd see the occasional strange light in the sky, but, I put it down to satellites, even though they would be, making turns and twists every now and then, often with friends or associates at university and stuff. And this wasn't something that happened regularly. It was just every now and then. And I'm 38 now, and about 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago now, I had my first really bizarre experience when I was living in Tasmania at the time. And my father was visiting from the UK, and we'd actually spent the weekend or a long weekend fishing up in the Central Highlands at a place called Arthur's Lake. We were staying in a place called Blue Lake Lodge, and the weather had been foul. It had been snowing and cold. This is, you know, kind of east, and the weather's supposed to be the best, but you know how these things work. And we didn't do much fishing, and eventually after a couple of days, we decided to call it a day, and we jumped in the car and we headed down from the Highlands back into Hobart, which is about an hour and a half, two-hour drive. And we were coming down the hills, and I'll just give you an idea where we are. We're on a single-lane highway that's coming down from the Central Highlands in Tasmania, and we're coming towards a town called Bothwell, which is a very rural community, very small population. And we're about 15 minutes away from Bothwell, and all of a sudden I notice this big white light following sort of up in the quarter light of my car just behind me and to my right. We're driving on the opposite side of the road, remember? So it's just behind me and to my right.
Mm-hmm.
And I pointed out to my dad, and he looks at this thing and goes, "That's very strange." And it followed us for a while, and it was a really strange light. It was like this. It was very bright, but it wasn't illuminating anything underneath it. It was a really odd kind of self-contained blue-white light. And we're traveling at about 100 kilometers an hour, and it's what I reckon is probably 200 feet away from the vehicle and off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it followed us for, 10, 15 minutes. And then I asked my dad if I could pull the car over and see what it was. And my dad freaked out and said, no, he didn't want me to stop the car. In fact, could I go any faster? And I'm towing the boat behind the back of the car. And I go, no, go any faster. Can we stop and have a look? And he's going, no way. I don't, just keep going. I'll keep watching it. You drive, I'll watch it. And a motorbike comes around the corner in the opposite direction. It's about 11 o'clock at night or something. And This motorbike comes in the opposite direction, and as soon as it starts heading towards them, we can see the lights of this motorbike. This light on our right-hand side just blinks out, just disappears. And my dad starts to calm down a little bit and goes, it's gone. Whatever it was, it's gone. And we just carried on driving, and this motorbike comes past us in the opposite direction and disappears up the road and around the corner. And as soon as the motorbike's out of sight, bing, this light switches back on.
Yeah.
Shits himself. Like, he just starts, up a little bit and goes ahead and said, look, we need to pull over and see what this thing is. And he's just like, no, don't you dare stop. And so we just carried on going, and this thing followed us for probably another 5-10 minutes just as we're coming into the town of Bothwell. And then then it just sort of shoots off over the top of the car. I didn't see it disappear because I'm driving, and my dad just says to me, look, it's gone. It just shot off over the top of us, at a rate of knots. And it was gone. So that was probably that was 5 or 6 years ago, and that was probably my first really strange experience, really odd kind of experience where I had a witness, and there was something reasonably close, and I couldn't explain it away, really. Like, there was my dad was telling me that maybe some farmer had a pulley system set up, and he was, and this is typical of a skeptic, like any kind of excuse or explanation for it that's not paranormal or something that we don't understand. He came up with radio controlled aeroplanes with a big bright light on it, and pulley system, and somebody trying to pull our leg, which I actually found quite comical. But
blinking on and off wouldn't fit that, for it to just turn off its light. And
neither would following you for 20 minutes.
Exactly.
Quite distance, and that would be some serious pulley system. Anyway, so that was probably my first solid experience. And then moving on, maybe a year or so after that, I started having dreams that I was being taken out of my bed and taken to places, strange rooms and stuff like that. But they were always really very cloudy dreams, and I'd wake up feeling like I'd run a marathon or something, like absolutely exhausted. I never had any of these markings that people talk about, like these puncture marks or scoop marks or anything like that. I never ever saw anything like that on me, and I just dismissed them as sort of interesting dreams, until one night I woke up. And next to the television in the bedroom, I could see this sort of this grey, black kind of shape, which was about 3.5 foot tall, I guess. I couldn't make out any features on it. I just knew that there was something there, and I could see this shadow, like it was masked from me. It was really weird. And then the next thing I know it's like I'm being given a general anaesthetic, and I wake up in this room, and in this room, it's like this whole room has this like mother of pearl kind of effect to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole room is molded, like there's no edges or there's no sharp edges or anything on it. It's like it's been poured into a mold and made, and there's these little 3.5 foot things around me. Again, I can't see them, just like black shadows, but I know that they're there. And I'm laying on this bed, which doesn't have legs. It's actually sticking out of the wall, like it's just been molded out of the wall. It's really weird. And I jump, and I remember getting off this bed and walking down this ramp and with these shadowy things around me. And they're trying to usher me somewhere. And I actually remember thinking how amusing it is that you're trying to move me, because, you know, I'm 6'1", and these things are like, you know. And I just remember laughing at the fact that their physical presence was quite amusing.
Yeah.
Seeing I'm unconscious, then I'm in this other room, and then I'm unconscious again, and I wake up in my bed, and I wake up, and all of a sudden I'm no longer finding this an amusing experience. I'm kind of a little bit concerned. So I roll over and I wake my partner up, who, before I actually explain what happened to me, she says to me, "I've just had the strangest dream." And I'm like, "What's that?" She said, "I woke up this morning, and I forget, it was 2:30 a.m. when I woke up." And I know that because I had the alarm clock next to me. And she's like, "I woke up in the early hours this morning, and there was this 3.5 foot creature standing in the corner of the room by the television, exactly where I'd seen it." And just keeping in mind that I hadn't told her about my dream, she then goes on to explain this creature that's kind of got this grey, almost elephant-like skin about it.
Mm-hmm.
Quite wrinkly, but not really wrinkly, but with these big black eyes. And she said she was looking at it for a couple of minutes and couldn't figure out what it was. And then she said, "And I started to worry and panic because I was uncomfortable because I couldn't move or anything." And she said, "And then I got this voice in my head, like a thought that wasn't my thought, but," she said, "it felt like it was coming from this thing. And it said, 'Look, don't worry. We're not here for you. We're here for him.'"
Uh-huh.
And then she said, and immediately she's like, she's been giving a general anesthetic and she goes to sleep again. So This was the first time that I really thought to myself, "Hey, hang on a minute, this is too coincidental. You know, I haven't told this person what I've just seen and what I've been through, and yet she's woken up and seen something that's very similar to me in the same place." She actually saw the being that I didn't see.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, for probably 2 years in this particular house, it was like the house was haunted. There'd be lights being switched on and off. My smoke alarm would go off at 2:30 a.m. regularly. Like, I'd change the smoke alarm, and it was hardwired. It wasn't like the battery, hardwired into mains electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Smoke alarm in the hall, which was the same, which would never go off. And so I swapped them, and they're on the same circuit, so I swapped them round to see what would happen. And the one that I took from the bedroom wouldn't go off in the hallway, but the one that I took from the hallway would start going off again in the bedroom at 2:30 a.m.
Hmm.
Remote controls would go missing. Like, it was just bizarre. I mean, this is not a constant, like, every now and then, you know. And the smoke alarm actually was quite consistent. That would probably be every 1 or 2 weeks that would go off at 2:30 a.m. on the dot, which was just weird.
Well, the smoke alarms have a system, it seems like, where they have these little wires or whatever you want to call it in there, that something has to jump the gap, you know, between the wires, like the smoke or whatever sends them off, and it seems like extra energy, any kind of extra energy that comes into the room actually sets those off. Seems to be a common occurrence. We've had times where we've had people who are channeling and things like that, would the energy would come into the room, and all of a sudden the smoke detectors would all go off, and like you're saying, a lot of other crazy things would be going on. So a lot of electrical malfunctions and things of that nature. So it's pretty common for that to happen.
And the TV would switch itself on every now and then as well. And even if you were watching it and I fell asleep with it, then the volume would start going up and down. It was just...
Yeah. And radios too. You know, I have a room that the radio just goes on arbitrarily all the time by itself.
Yeah, no, this is a phenomenon that was sort of recurring you know, in the house, and you know, we used to laugh and just say, "Oh, the house must be haunted," and we'd kind of flip it off and ignore it.
Yeah.
And yeah, so after that, after a couple of years, and these dreams kind of come and go, and then we moved to another property. I really wanted to move out of suburbia and get out into the countryside and have a bit of isolation and peace and quiet. And you know, and all this time I'm working with the CSIRO, and it was a couple of years later that I remember. So this is about 3 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting at work, and all of a sudden I get this voice in my head that's like, "You need to go home to bed." And it's like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the evening, afternoon, evening. And without really questioning this feeling or this thought, I packed up my laptop, I said goodbye to everyone at work and said, "Look, I'm tired, I'm going home," jumped in my car and got halfway home. And I'm like, "Hang on a minute, what am I doing? What am I doing here?" I like suddenly, what am I doing going home at this time of day? Because I was actually supposed to be working later that evening because I had work backed up. And anyway, I just kind of went with it and went home and fed my animals. I was in bed by 7:30 in the evening, and I'm just straight to sleep, like completely fast asleep. And I woke up, and on the left hand side is my alarm clock. And it says 2:32 or something a.m. And I was like, "Oh, really? That's interesting." And then suddenly I noticed that I can't move. All I can move is my head slightly and my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
My bedroom, in fact, not just my bedroom, but my entire house is full of this really bizarre blue light. Like it was like something that you'd see in a movie, man. It was really, really weird. Like it was a lovely blue, it was a lovely colour. Mm-hmm. And in amongst it all, there were these white lights floating around. Like, it was lit, man, it was really like something out of Star Trek or something. It was really weird.
Yeah.
And my whole house is full of it. And I can see, and whilst I'm looking through it, I'm looking around my room because I'm being very, is this a dream? This is what I'm asking myself. I'm dreaming this, and I'm being very careful about looking around my room at specific details. And, like, my room is exactly how I left it. My jeans are on the floor. My socks are there. There's a DVD sitting halfway off my DVD player that I took out the night before, and my curtains are drawn. And, you know, I'm looking around. I'm being very vigilant about this, and I'm like, no, I'm awake, and this is actually happening, or what the hell is it? And then I get this kind of – it's like an awareness of what's happening. I don't know whether it's a familiarity, like it's something that I remember, or whether it's just I'm aware of what's occurring, and I'm like, "Oh, goodness me, there are things here that I've not experienced, or I don't remember, and I don't really know what they are." And then as I'm starting to, you know, kind of get some idea of what's going on, I start seeing these black shadowy things appear in the hallway just outside my bedroom door, which is slightly open. And I can see these things sort of appearing and moving towards my bedroom. And again, then I get this general anesthetic feeling like I'm falling asleep and I can't fight it. And and then I slip into unconsciousness again. And I have no recollection of what happens from that point on. Until I wake up again at 3:15, I look over to the first thing I do when I open my eyes again is look at my clock, and it says 3:15. Now, what's weird is this blue light's still there with these white lights in it, but it's nowhere near as strong. Like it's fading.
Yeah.
And I'm having this sort of internal dialogue with something where I'm saying, "It's really unfair that you do this to me, but you don't let me see you." And then I get this kind of look, you're not ready to see us, like it's not something that you're going to be comfortable with. And I'm saying, no, language, but in my head I'm saying, no, fuck you, if you're doing this to me, it's only fair you let me see who you are.
Yeah.
And I get this kind of look, you're not going to be comfortable with it. And I'm like, I don't give a rat, look, this is, you know, show me who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I get this kind of urge to look over to my bedroom window, and you know, keep in mind that I'm on a second, I'm in a two-story house.
Yeah.
Dreams up on the, you know, on the top floor, and I look over to my right, and out of my bedroom window, I've still got this blue light inside, but it's fading, but outside of my bedroom window, I see this face. and it's very big, roundish kind of head with brownish kind of skin, very wrinkly, and so wrinkly that I couldn't make out whether there would be a nose or a mouth in any of that. And these big round black eyes, not these almond-shaped black eyes you hear about, but these big round black eyes, different my partner saw because she saw this grey skin thing which had these kind of big almond eyes. And it was just stood. It was, well, stood. It was just outside my window staring at me, and I probably looked at it for maybe 30 seconds or so, which seemed like an eternity, until I started to freak out, because suddenly I became aware of this thing was actually pretty ugly. Right, pretty ugly. And I started to freak out, and then I get this sort of mess, this kind of idea, this thing in my head going, I told you, or we told you, or something like that. And then it just disappeared. Like, it literally just vanishes, just disappears in front of my very eyes. And then this light just eventually fades away to nothing. And then it's again, it's like I'm being given this general anesthetic. And I fall unconscious again. And I wake up at 4:30 a.m., which is obviously a bit later, absolutely exhausted and wondering what the hell that was all about. So the following week after that, I was very strange. Like, everything was very strange around me. Like, I would feel connection to everything, like trees, mountains, dogs, cats, birds, butterflies, bees, people, and people's emotions. Like, I could feel people's emotions as they're near me, and it would be exhausting. And it was quite difficult to deal with for a while. And then about, I guess, 10 days after that experience, maybe a week after that experience, again, I'm at home, and both of these occasions, my partner's away at work, and about 10 days later, I go to bed, and I have this other experience where I wake up with, like, I'm consciously awake, but I can't open my eyes, and I see this strobing, like this double flash strobing white light in my head. And I'm laying in bed going, oh God, I'm having a seizure subscription, and I can't move my body, and I can't open my eyes. How am I going to deal with this? I'm not going to be able to call anybody or tell anybody that I'm having a problem. And this is how awake I was, and how, how consciously sort of observing what was happening with my eyes closed. And I wasn't scared, but I was like, how am I going to deal with this if I can't move and I can't open my eyes? And eventually I open my eyes, and there's this flash of light that seems to be in my room, but it's like in the middle of my head as well at the same time, and I can't for the life of me figure it out. And I'm looking around my bedroom again, making sure I'm awake, and I can move my head a little bit at this point. And then I turn over to my right-hand side, and there's this 4.5 foot taller translucent, I don't know what to call it, like it's like I don't know. It's got a big sort of oval-shaped head, wide at the top and narrow at the bottom, and these massive black wraparound eyes. I mean, they're huge. And I could see, it had what looked like two fleshy antennae on the top of it, which were translucent also. I could see blood vessels, or what would appear to be blood vessels under the skin of this thing, and I could see its skeleton, which was almost like a like an opaque kind of glass underneath it. It had very long arms, so long I couldn't see the hands on it because they were bent almost like an insect type joints on the arms. And it's just staring at me, and I mean, it's only a few, maybe 2 feet away from my face, just looking straight at me. And in what looked like these blood vessels, I could see what looked like little beads of light moving around in these vessels. And when I first saw it, I panicked, and then I actually managed to calm my breathing down and my heart rate. This is how aware I was at the time. I managed to slow breathing down. I managed to slow my heart rate down so I wasn't panicking. And I just sat and I observed this thing for minutes. Didn't move, just sat there and stared at me. And whatever it was doing, it wasn't going until it had finished. And then, and I remember consciously after looking at this thing, actually managing to speak, which was quite an effort actually, just to talk. And I remember all I could come up with was, "Hey, how are you going? Are you good? Can I help you?" or something like that.
Yeah.
Shortly after I spoke, the damn thing just disappeared. One of these flashes of light, like there was another one of these strobe flashes of white light, and it just vanished. I then got this massive urge to fall asleep again, which I didn't do. I managed to pull myself up in my bed and stay awake until I got the use of my legs and my arms back properly. And then I jumped out of bed and looked where it was standing and looked through the window to see if there's anything outside and didn't see anything at all. And then again, after this experience, I had this connection thing to everything around me. But the one thing that was really very obvious was I couldn't stand my job. I'd go to work and I'd be around these people that were fretting and panting about work and stressed about this kind of stuff. And just all of a sudden, none of it made any sense to me at all. And that was a really defining sort of moment for me, I think. I suddenly realized that this, you know, this 9-to-5 thing that we're in is really not important. It's this stuff that's happening to people is real, and these things are actually coming to us. I mean, this is, you know, for me, it suddenly became a really very important.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like there was some kind of transference of consciousness and energy or a heightened sensitivity that came with these contacts.
Definitely a heightened sensitivity to the point where I didn't want to be near people because I found their emotions and their thoughts and stuff to be quite intrusive of me. Like they was difficult for me to be around them. And also there was this weird energy thing as well. Like I just felt like I was going to explode the whole time. Like I was going to just burst. And, you know, I remember looking at a butterfly one day shortly after these things, walking through the park, and it was like all of a sudden I was in the butterfly and knew what it was like to be a butterfly.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a shaman dream, or, you know, what they do is where they will step into an animal, you know, and look through the animal's eyes and feel what it's like to be that animal.
And that's exactly what it was like. But it was like that with trees and dogs and people and mountains and, you know, anything that was natural. It was so bizarre. And I went to see a doctor and I said, "Look, this is going on with me. What's going on?" And they sent me for brain scans and this, that and the other, and they couldn't find anything wrong with me. And then shortly after that, I came down with what I guess they class as chronic fatigue syndrome, where I was sick for probably, I think, very difficult to do anything, and I occasionally managed to get out with friends and go camping for, you know, for a few days, which was probably which made me feel better than anything, just getting away from work and all of that kind of stuff. And during these trips, we would see lights in the sky, you know, flashes of light, and then these little silver, like what looked like apple seeds, would just come shooting out of them. And this isn't just me on my own; this is me with two or three people. And then the last big sort of sighting I had with friends after these what you would call visitations, I guess, was again up at Arthur's Lake where we were fishing, and this great big white light came flying over the top of us just after I'd been having a conversation with my friend Simon about these things and my mate Harry from New Zealand who'd come over to visit. And I turned around to my friend Simon, who was at the time taking a leak behind a tree, and said, "Mate, what would you do if a big white light just came over the top of us and illuminated this whole area like a football pitch?" Because we were in this opening of trees, and it's about 11 o'clock at night. And at the moment I shut my mouth, this great big ball of white light just comes over the top of us and illuminates the whole area, traveling at about 5 miles an hour. And my friend stood there taking a leak by this tree with his mouth wide open. I'm sitting there with a big smile on my face looking at this light going, "What the hell is going on?" You know, like this, all this stuff is happening in such a short space. My friend Harry's kind of just sitting there motionless. You know, he was cooking a sausage on the fire or something at the time. And then this thing splits, disappears over the light. It lights the whole lake up as it goes over. It was bizarre. And in my head, I'd put it down to a meteorite or whatever. And yeah, and like I say, after all these experiences, work became very difficult for me, and relationship became very difficult for me too, because I became more interested in this stuff and what's happening with me, and much less interested in society and, you know, the social consciousness that people talk about. And
Did you get a sense of what these entities had in mind or their purpose for these experiences?
This is really this is a strange thing. I have no idea. I didn't, like, some people say that they get given messages or they get given information and stuff like that. I didn't get anything like that. All I know is that afterwards I was a really different person and money didn't have any interest for me anymore, and science, you know, to a certain extent, even though I still respect it greatly and there's a lot of value in it. And, but a lot of it became really quite redundant to me. And I also found that a lot of people's attitudes towards science, you know, this kind of science is the answer to everything, that kind of thing, actually became quite repulsive.
Mm-hmm.
I found it difficult to sit and listen to that, whereas before I was like, you know, I was in a situation where, yeah, science can answer everything. You know, I'm part of that, and, you know, and I believe in that. And all of a sudden, my worldview, I guess, was completely blown into two pieces, and I had to kind of start all over again, rebuilding myself and rebuilding what, you know, what I believe in and how I feel about life and you know, and where we come from and what we're all about. And so, unfortunately, I didn't get any real idea or intention from these things, other than the fact that I know that I started to change after these experiences in a very, very specific direction. And now I'm, when I came on a bit of a trip to the USA, I was going to go on a sort of, you know, a trip to Asia and experience that kind of culture and Buddhism and all that kind of stuff. But for some reason I came to the States because I wanted to meet people who had similar experiences. I wanted to come to your place, and wow, did I have some experiences up there when I first got there. I mean, that place blew me away. Like, it was incredible. And yeah, and as you know, whilst I've been in the States and I've been meeting people like Stan Romanek, yourself, who have, you know, all had their own unique experiences, and this is something else that's fascinating about this, is everybody has their own unique experiences. You know, it's like nobody has exactly the same experiences. They're all very unique to the individual, which is fascinating. Mm-hmm. And, whilst I've been here, you know, I've had some other quite fascinating experiences, both at your ranch and also whilst driving a car, I had those incredible out-of-body experiences as well, which kind of blew me away and also throw a lot of questions at you.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of interesting. I noticed when you first came, you're kind of spinning around with the energy, trying to figure it all out. And then when you came here, you found out, hey, it's okay. You know, there's a lot of people having these experiences. And I was thinking about that, you know, maybe just the experience is the message, you know, rather than giving you a message, the experience itself is the message, and where you've come from and where you're at now, seems to be the message.
Yeah, well, I completely agree with you, actually, and I think that's the same for a lot of people. And you know, like, people make these bizarre kind of predictions about what's happening in 2012, and this day this is going to happen, and obviously nothing happened. And it's like, you know, prophecy is a really bad thing to get involved with.
Mm-hmm.
Everything changes day by day. Little energies change, and you know. And at the end of the day, what's going to happen is going to happen, and you just have to be, you know, vigilant about yourself and what's occurring with you and what these experiences that people are having. Some people have problems with them; it becomes very traumatic. Some people get wrapped up in it to the point where they exclude the rest of their physical life, and that's actually quite dangerous, because we live here and we live now. We live in this physical world, and we have to be able to live in this physical world. And coming to your place was sort of invaluable to me, really, because I met so many people who had so many unique experiences, and I would see people who were struggling with it. I'd see people who were going in one completely different direction to me with it. And that's, you know, and this is all part of this collection that we all are. It's just one thing that we all are. Everybody experiences things slightly differently because nobody's the same. It was absolutely incredible for me to meet all these different people with these different experiences and the different ways that they're processing what's happening to them. And you know, then I left you guys and I went to Denver and I met Stan Romanek and I had lights in the sky and had some crazy experiences there with, you know, and I started, after being at your place, I started seeing shadows and orbs all over the place, and you know, and I still see them. And then I was driving, as you know, a car from Denver to Wyoming not so long ago to meet the guy I called Leo Sprinkle, and as I'm driving that car over the peaks there to Wyoming to see this guy from Denver, it's all of a sudden I start getting these crazy waves of energy going through me, and pop, I'm out of my body and I'm seeing the planet and I feel this total unconditional love. And this is something that is completely different to any experience that I'd had before. Like, this wasn't things visiting me in my room, this wasn't lights in the sky, this was something profoundly different. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm driving a car at 60 miles an hour,
mm-hmm.
5 miles an hour, on the way to Wyoming, over the tops of these hills. I get this crazy energy, which is like it's just coursing through me, like it's building with intensity. And then all of a sudden, pop, everything goes black. It doesn't feel like I'm in my body anymore. I'm looking down at planet Earth. I see all these, like, pictures of faces, like different races and different people, and I feel this unbelievable and incredible unconditional love for everything on this planet. Like, it was so intense that it was actually difficult to contain and to cope with. And this went, you know, this felt like maybe a minute or maybe 30 seconds, and I had completely forgotten about the car I was in. It wasn't, for me, it didn't exist anymore. It wasn't a problem. And then bang, I'm back in the car again, and I'm in floods of tears, and I'm actually banging the dashboard of the car going, oh my God, what, you know, holy Jesus, what the hell was that all about? You know, like, and there's floods, I'm starting to calm down, this energy's going, but I can still feel this love. And it's like, I think I remember, because I actually called you after these experiences because I was freaking out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what on earth is that about? And I'm trying to drive this car and I'm crying and this energy's starting to go and I feel this love, but it's this energy and this love thing is not something that you could contain and feel like in this physical form.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it'd be possible to contain it without going mad, I don't think. It's like, we don't have the... I don't have it. I wouldn't have the capacity or the ability to feel this thing. And when I was having this out-of-body experience, I kept getting this sort of thing like, this is who you are. Remember who you are. This is where you come from. This is who you are. And so I'm driving my car and this is starting to fade and calm down a bit. And I'm going, oh, Jesus, what on earth was that all about? And then all of a sudden this energy starts again and bang, pop, I'm back out in... I'm back in this black thing, and I'm looking at the earth, and again I get this love, and along with this love feeling that I've got for everything, which is overwhelmingly amazing, like it's just unbelievable. I also see on the planet these little explosions of like little pastel colours, like blues and purples and greens and things like that, and I'm like, what the hell is this about, you know? And then I get this sense, like in my head, it's like this, you know, this is who you are, this is why we're here, this is what it looks like to us when you start to wake up. And I'm like, what are you, you know, what is this? What are you talking about? You know, and then this goes on, and like then bang, I'm back in the car again, and I'm, you know, I'm borderline pulling over and stopping the vehicle. I mean, I'm floods of tears and like unbelievably incredible. It's just an incredible energy and experience. And then that kind of calms down and fades. And then I end up at Leo Sprinkle's place and I get out of my car, like, I don't know, it feels like someone's drugged me or something. Like, I'm completely out of it. And I'm trying to have this conversation with Leo Sprinkle about my visitations and stuff, and to try and get some sort of clarity on it all. And I told him about my experience on the way to see him. And then he starts crying.
Yeah.
Like, dude, are you okay? And he's like, mate, this is, you know, this is where my work's been going for all these years. Thank you so much for coming and validating, you know, this, that, and the other for me. And I'm like, what? No, I'm here for you to help me. And he's like, no. And he's shaking my hand. He's going, no, thank you so much. This is beautiful. I love hearing this kind of stuff. And in the end, we just ended up having a chat for like 2 hours. And I didn't really do anything with him, you know, but we talked about for 2 hours, and I got in my car and I drove home. And driving home from Leo's, I'm calling you going, James, what the hell is going on? I think I'm going insane. These, you know, These experiences are just off the chart, and I think your response to me was, no, Giles, I think you're experiencing sanity for the first time.
Yeah.
At one point, I remember cracking up and thinking, thank God for James, you know.
Well, I always tell people the world is insane, you know. I mean, yeah, definitely, I mean, out of sane. We're the ones that are insane. The world is out of sane or out of sanity.
Yeah.
And you really don't know that until you have these experiences, and then you look back, and then you can't relate to the way people behave and the way they treat each other and the planet and just the social consciousness program. You just go, what was I doing? You know, this doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And there needs to be more people like that on the planet that, you know, are going to question the emperor, you know, when he's naked.
Well, exactly right. And like you say, it's like you suddenly become so aware that it's actually not that people aren't, that most people, I don't, well, my own personal opinion is it's not that everyday people can't experience these things. It's just that they're so close to it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess in some way I always wanted to have, you know, something else, understand something about life. I've always questioned that it's not, you know, that it's not as simple as a rock, you know, rotating around a sun that's, you know, accidentally got life evolving on it. Like, it never made any sense to me anyway. Like, I remember at university doing, studying evolution, especially the evolution of man. I mean, it happened in such a rapid, you know, from apparently being apes to standing and making tools, and then, you know, and then our intellect, the evolution of it just seemed, didn't make any sense to me, you know, over the time period. That it was like, it was just such a rapid exponential sort of growth.
Uh-huh.
And that never really made a great deal of sense to me. And society, I suppose, in the way that we have these rigorous rules and laws that we're meant to abide by. I mean, come on, what is it? We're born, we go through school, you know, through our, you know, from the age of, well, from in the UK, from the age of 4 until the age of 18, if you stay on. And then most people are expected to go to university or go out and get a job. I mean, there is no room in any of that system for personal growth and development and real, you know, like real spiritual growth. And that's what, when I say personal growth, I mean, that's what's important and that's what's really lacking in society. And it's something that I ignored in myself for a very long period of time. And a lot of people I know avoid it on purpose. They don't want to know. They don't believe that there's anything else. You know, they want a nice, simple kind of structure to their life. And I actually find that it's a little bit quite sad to see people like that.
Oh, but anything
else, you know, that's what that people are programmed to believe. They get into their car, they do their 9-to-5 job, they're worried about their mortgage, they're worried about the kids, they're worried about food on their plate, they're worried about their money and their overdrafts. There is no room for anything beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is sad that, and then you meet some of these people and they really, in a way, they think they've got it all and they know it all. And but you can instill want into another person or get them to take a look at their life, you know, and realize that the universe is much bigger than this little personality body ego program that we have going. And, you know, it's trying to tough. You know, one thing I just noticed, I'd love to get your take on it. This Bigfoot thing that's going on with this Dr. Ketchum and some Russian scientists as well. They got over 100 samples of Bigfoot, and back in the early 80s, I wrote about Bigfoot and said it was part of the human experience that evolved in nature, and it's part of the, you know, it's a very extremely advanced, intelligent creature, but it's just evolved in nature, and it has abilities that some shamans, you know, that are that live in the jungles and things like that can also do, you know, like shapeshift or appear and disappear or things like that. So it's quite interesting because I've had my own experiences around that, and it just got validated that they, from the samples that were very controlled, you know, some of them were very clean samples, that this creature, or whatever you want to call it, is part of the human experience, and it has human DNA as well as some other odd DNA along with the human DNA.
Well, I guess... from my perspective, I mean, I've never seen Bigfoot, and it's funny though, but I've never found myself dismissing its existence.
Uh-huh.
Purely because you know, when thousands of people see things, and okay, some people will go out their way to hoax something.
Yeah.
And because they want attention or they want to do something amusing and, you know, or whatever. I mean, these things, you know, hoaxes are there. But yeah. I wouldn't invalidate the existence.
Yeah, when you have that many credible witnesses, the American Academy of Science did a study on Bigfoot, and they had a very long list of questions that they asked people. And it was everything from, you know, do you wear glasses? Are you on medication? You know, very like psychiatric evaluation questions, things like that. And then they asked to give descriptions, you know, of what they saw. And some of these people were like doctors, psychologists, things like that, that had, you know, sightings. There's a university professor here that is a psychologist that saw one, and now he's doing everything he can to prove it's real. But he still thinks it's this dumb ape. But this dumb ape has outsmarted him every time. I mean, they put fruit out, you know, for this supposedly dumb ape. And they have all these sensors and cameras and infrared sensors, everything out there, you know, all this high-tech equipment. And supposedly this dumb ape grabs the fruit every time, and they come back with nothing, you know. And they don't know how it happened or how it did it, but they don't really understand the true nature of what Bigfoot is. If they did, they would understand why, you know. There's a saying here in the Native American elders. They said, you know, if you go chasing Bigfoot, you're never going to find him. But if he wants to find you, he will.
Sure.
And so it's all about consciousness. It's all about if you're in the right consciousness, they'll allow you to see them. But these are some extremely advanced beings that are not dumb apes. They have human genetics as well as living in the wild. They're very stealthy, and they seem to be able to appear and disappear at will, which really upsets a lot of the researchers when you bring this information out.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, one of the things that people have to be really careful of is labeling something dumb or stupid when they don't understand it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we have a habit of doing that all the time, because something doesn't behave the way that we behave, it has to be dumb or stupid. And that's, you know, and that's...
yeah.
It's quite amusing that we put our own intellect up there when we've screwed this planet to the point of no return, you know, and we've overpopulated it, and we still burn fossil fuels and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I sometimes look at our own species and wonder who's the more stupid.
Yeah. Us or
the chimpanzees that are swinging through the trees and living in this kind of equanimous kind of state with the rest of nature. So that's kind of difficult as far as things coming in and out of existence in our reality and our dimensions concerned. I mean, it's completely possible, totally feasible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've, you know, as you know, I've had these experiences now, and you know, had you asked me 6 months ago, I would have probably gone, no, mate, it's,
Yeah.
And now I'm kind of like, hang on a minute, I've seen things come into my room and disappear in front of my eyes, and I've had these crazy out-of-body experiences whilst driving a car, and, you know, and it's almost like, you go to a place and time doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what we experience in this physical form is one thing, and we've labeled time as a, you know, very linear thing. Yet, how can I be driving a car, have an experience that seems to last, you know, for a period of time, be back in my car and still be driving my car without, and still be in the same lane?
Yeah.
Because to me, physically, I guess the experience was a blink of an eye. Whereas what I actually perceived was something that was drawn out with information, and I'm watching a film. You know, it's like it doesn't compute in my mind in this reality. So to say that something can't shift in and out of dimensions, I guess, or come at will or disappear at will, just because we can't do it doesn't necessarily mean that something else can't.
Yeah, exactly. I had experience. I told people once that I was walking. I was just going for a walk, and then all of a sudden I just got really spaced out, and the next step I almost fell because I went out of body, and then I had all these amazing experiences, and then they put me back at the exact same time, and, you know, in a half step to where the next step I was a little off center when I came back in. But I started having recollections of what happened, and they said, you know, you're at school for 2 weeks. they told me I was being trained in something. I don't remember exactly. I do remember going to school and meeting a lot of people and things like that. I don't remember the curriculum, but they said that I was actually at almost like this intergalactic seminar type thing for 2 weeks, and then they put me back without even missing a step.
Well, this is, I guess this is what, you know, our Aboriginals would describe as dream time and things like that. Like this, this happened, it's happened to me. And like I said to you, 5 years ago, or 6 years ago, I would have probably told you that UFOs were mostly imaginary and ETs were, you know, a figment of people's imaginations.
Mm-hmm.
But it, unfortunately, it takes for me, not for some people, but for me, it took direct experience.
Yeah. And there's nothing like that. I have to totally commend you, a person of your wisdom and your credentials, actually coming forth after having these experiences is quite a journey. And it's also quite a blessing for it to allow other people to kind of come out of the closet, you know, that are in positions of power or hold, you know, high credentials and things like that, to come out and say, hey, you know, there's a lot more than we're told, a lot more than we're taught, a lot more to the universe, and it's time to maybe open ourselves up to, you know, the grander universe in which we live.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I know there are medical doctors and, as you say, psychologists and psychiatrists and, you know, all people of all walks of life having these experiences. And what's fascinating now is, you know, from the people I talk to who have been in this research for years, what they seem to be talking about now is that it's not adults that are really having, I mean, some adults are having these experiences, but what they seem to be doing is experiencing these things with their children, in the way that their children are coming to them and they're saying, I was on this ship and I was taught this last night and I'm taught these things. And these are, you know, medical doctors, psychiatrists, what have you, and normal people, you know, and they're saying, what is going on with my children? And then there's all these kids that are being diagnosed with ADD and ADHD, and most of that's probably just because they're bored out of their brain and schools aren't particularly exciting. I remember thinking school was the dullest shit, and I would have been diagnosed as ADHD when I was a kid. I was always out of the classroom. I was always in detention. You know, I was in trouble all the time because I just didn't give a monkey's about education. It was boring. And, you know, I was a kid and I wanted to do kid stuff and learn kid things. So, but what do? We pour drugs down these children's, you know, mouth to calm them down and sit in class and be a good person. That's something that, you know, I find quite offensive. And it is a shame. It is a shame that we have to, it's a shame that I had to have experiences to open up to it and start looking into it with some, you know, with some degree of kind of open-mindedness. But what is fascinating, James, is when I was having these experiences, I was quite happy to talk about it at work with, you know, some very high-level scientists in the organization or in the particular group that I was working within, which was genetics and molecular biology. And some of them, even the very skeptical people, even the very skeptical ones, and there's some very intelligent people out there that, you know, really don't want to believe in it. And I remember talking to a guy called Stan, who was my line manager and one of the people that I respected most within the scientific community that I was working in. Very open-minded, very intelligent, you know, spiritual in the way that he built his own house and grows his own vegetables, and, you know, he's kind of a bit of a hippie but doesn't believe in, you know, this paranormal, well, doesn't believe anybody, holds it at arm's length. And I said, well, you know, I was talking to him about it, and he would sit and listen to me fine, without judging or without, you know, without calling me a lunatic or without wanting to fire me or anything. So once I started talking about it in amongst the group, I actually noticed the majority of people wanted to hear about it.
Uh-huh.
And there were some people that would look at me and go, you're nuts, you know, you're crazy, this doesn't happen at all. You know, life is this very structured and physical thing. What you're talking about, you obviously need to take medication or something.
Yeah.
But some of them were very open-minded. But I remember asking Stan, I was like, wouldn't you want to meet them? Like, if they were there, wouldn't you want to meet them? And he looked straight, and he looked me right in the eye, and he said, no, not really. And I'm like, why not? And he's like, I think I'd shit myself.
Yeah. On that note, we're almost out of time. The you know, it's funny. The I think it's interesting. You know, in physics, you know, almost all the physicians, physicists, I should say, believe in at least 11 dimensions out there, but yeah. They keep demanding physical proof for non-physical events when it does fit into their physics. But you know, to me, that's kind of like illogical. And a lot of these things are repeatable. There's multiple witnesses that have similar stories. You know, there's residual things that can be measured at times. You know, there's a lot of evidence. You know, that, you know, even with the photos and the video out there, I know some of that's hoax too. But I mean, there's just so much evidence out there. I'm blown away that you know, people with supposedly, you know, kind of a high intellect or whatever can still dismiss the fact that, you know, we live in a multidimensional universe and it just may be inhabited.
Well, obviously everything fits a niche somewhere, doesn't it? And just inhabit this. And another, you will notice generally in the population, people are very focused on certain aspects
yeah.
of their life. And in this particular reality, that it's difficult to come across people that have a real broad spectrum and a real open mind. And people that do have that open mind and do look at life with a far broader view, they're the ones that you tend to find had these experiences or seen things that are strange, and they question, you know, they question a lot of stuff that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, could you imagine if we realized that we were just, you know, that our physical bodies were just part of what we really are? You know, that there's much more to life than what we are here, right, in this physical reality. Everything would change.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if for a moment, if you could just think, if everybody knew that they were eternal, if we are, if everybody knew that they were eternal beings, everything on this planet would be completely different. People wouldn't be panicking to fit everything into this 60-year kind of gap that we have.
Also, too, realizing that, you know, there's a unified field in which everything's connected and everything's in constant communication. You know, if you're aware of it, if you choose not to be aware of it, then it isn't real for you. But, you know, when we just apply the sciences, you know, that the wisdom that we do know from science to our civilization, we would take a quantum leap in evolution.
Absolutely. And, you know, and if you're aware that everything's connected and that on this other level that you're talking about, doing harm and being, you know, and feeling emotional pain and all these kind of things would suddenly kind of diminish, I think.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. We've definitely got to start paying attention to, you know, our own science, you know, and start applying that, you know, as well as get back into the heart, and things will turn around. You know, we've hit the end of the hour, unfortunately. You know, I can't thank you enough for sharing your experience and coming on the show, and hopefully this will be, make it possible for others, you know, in the scientific community to come out and talk about their stories.
Well, just, you know, all I can say is people be open, talk about experiences you've had. Don't be afraid, because I've been doing it since I've had them, and, you know, nothing negative has happened to me. In fact, it's been a wonderful journey since. So, you know, thank you for the time, James, and thank you for letting me share this. And also thank you for the valuable time that you've allowed me to share with you up at the ranch, because that in itself was a big release for me. Thank you.
Awesome. Hey, well, let's definitely stay in touch. We're out of time, folks. This is James Gillen signing off. Have a great day.